Why did he need to be there in person? Jean is behaving herself so well. God bless you, sister, for your restraint. Oh, okay, you're waiting too. Okay. The reason is, I believe, is because Scripture reveals that one of the primary ways of imparting a spiritual gift is through the what? The laying on of hands. That's one of God's primary ways of doing it. He can do it other ways, but that's one of his primary ways. Why does he have multiple ways? I don't know. Why is it if you want to save a document, you can click the little floppy disk icon, or you can go up to File and pull down a menu and click Save, or you can do a Control S. Why don't they just have one way of doing it? I don't know, but it works, so, you know. Why does God have multiple ways? I don't know. Why does he prefer laying on of hands? I could speculate. Probably because that's how the kingdom of God operates relationally. The kingdom of God is all about the kingdom of God in and through his church. God could have just, it's the start of creation. He didn't even have to go through the Garden of Eden and all this other stuff. He could have just said, bam, here we are, boom, end of story. But he had a story. He had a part for us to play. That's how the kingdom of God operates, from person to person. That's vital. I'm guessing that might be a part of his reason, but it sounds good to me. I don't know. It's all about the kingdom of God in us going out to other people. God does not anoint machinery. God does not just hang his anointing out there in the air, hoping that somebody will run into it at some point. He anoints people and then sends people to other people to pass on and impart that grace and that blessing and that anointing. Through the laying on of hands. Good answer. So in this situation, one person who has a certain anointing or a certain spiritual gifting is able to lay hands on another person and impart that gift to them through that connection, through that physical and spiritual connection. In fact, when you look at this Greek word that's translated here, impart, it's Greek word metadidumi, and it basically means to share something with someone. What you have, you give. To share a thing with anyone. And when you see it throughout the New Testament, other places where it's used, for instance, it's talking about someone who has two coats giving one of the coats to someone who doesn't have any. It talks about, instead of stealing, if you go get a job and you get a paycheck, after you've earned your money and paid your expenses, you have something left over to give or impart to somebody else. You worked, you got it, you have it, and now you, out of that, give it to somebody else. It's used in another place where Paul said, we imparted the gospel to you, and not only that, but our very lives. They had the gospel, they were entrusted with it, and they gave it to these people. And if it meant risking their lives in the process, then they laid their life down at the people's feet and said, we will even die for you to bring this to you if necessary. So they took what they had, whether the gospel or their life or their paycheck or their coat or clothing, and they took out of that and gave it to somebody else. Can you see where I'm going with this? Sort of, kind of? Okay. Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts in Scripture, we see that this giving or this imparting is frequently done through laying on of hands. We see this in the case of Timothy. Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. And it says that Paul imparted a gift of some sort, probably leadership, some sort of a leadership gift to Timothy, which Timothy was supposed to develop and nurture and use and grow in. You know, when you get a spiritual gift, let me just interject this here. When you get a spiritual gift, you're not instantly an expert at it necessarily. God may impart a spiritual gift to you and you may stumble through it for a while. Some of the worship leaders up here, when they picked up a guitar for the first time, couldn't play, you know, Malaguena or something like that. They had to sit in front of a book and go, C. Okay, G. You know, they had to develop that. But there was a certain grace about them that enables them to flow in that. And as they use it and develop it, they grow in grace. And so our giftings, whether it's healing, you might receive a gift of healing and see some limited success in the beginning, but God doesn't want you to get discouraged and just say, well, I'm not going to pray for anybody anymore because that person didn't get healed. He wants you to continue to grow in that. Use it by reason of use to grow in grace. Okay, but anyway, getting back to the subject, this is what happened with Timothy. Paul laid hands on Timothy. In fact, it says in 1 Timothy 4:14, apparently he had been letting it go for a little while. He says to Timothy, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. How was it given to him? Laying on of hands. Later on in 2 Timothy, I guess Timothy didn't take the hint. In 1 Timothy, he says to him again, 2 Timothy 1:6, therefore I remind you, stir up or fan the flame of the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Of what?
Power.
What is it?
Power.
God imparts gifts of
power.
A powerless church is not a true New Testament church. The New Testament is all about the power. Jesus said, don't even go out the door till you get the power. Amen. Amen. Man. Getting excited here. Praise God. Where else in the New Testament? Okay, Acts chapter 6, when they chose the first deacons, they were ministering to the widows, and there was a dispute between the Greek widows and the Hebrew widows. Somebody wasn't getting enough food, and they started complaining, blah, 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 whine and whine and complain. And the apostles said, look, you know, we don't have time to be, you know, serving tables. We got this other stuff to do. They said to the church, appoint seven men among yourselves who are of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and we will set them over this, you know, ministration of the food. So they did. They chose seven men. They listed their names there. And it says after they chose them, the apostles came and prayed and did what? Laid hands on them to impart that gift of service to them. But guess what? One of them was a guy named Stephen. And the next thing you know, after laid hands and prayed and laid hands on Stephen, he's running around there, running around doing miracles and signs and wonders. Son of a gun. You know, I mean, I don't know what happened. Maybe, on the one hand, maybe it was a surprise to Stephen. He's like, you know, okay, and they lay hands on him. And then one day he happens to be praying for somebody, you know, and says, you know, the Lord Jesus, you know, heal you. And suddenly maybe power flowed out of him into that person. They jumped up and were miraculously healed. And he's like, whoa. I can heal people. Kind of like Reverend Jim in Taxi when he, you know, sat down at the piano one day. He plays this, you know, incredible piece and he's like, whoa, I can play the piano. I forgot. So I don't know. Maybe it was a surprise to him. Maybe he's like, whoa, dang, I thought I was here to serve tables. I can heal people. But I personally suspect, because it says that Stephen was a man of wisdom, I suspect that when they were about to pray for these guys, the light bulb went on in his head and he said, oh man, I am about to get an impartation from the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I'm willing to serve tables, praise God, but you know what? I want what they got. As long as you're giving it, man, I want to do what they're doing. I'll take what they're having. Thank you very much. And so when they laid hands on him, he probably said, Father, I'll take it all. Pour it out, Lord. And he did. Because the next thing you know, Stephen is out there doing great signs and wonders. It doesn't even say signs and wonders. It says great signs and wonders. And he's preaching and he's debating with the religious leadership in the Sanhedrin with so much wisdom they couldn't even withstand him. He had the wisdom of the apostles and the very power of them. In fact, he spends the entire chapter 7 of Acts preaching to them. I think Timothy said, man, I'll take what they're having. And frankly, I'll take it too. I don't know about you, long as they're serving it, man, I got my plate. Give some to me. Here's my cup. Fill it up. John.
Oh. Oh,
thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise God. Take it. That's right, man. That's right. You don't need a degree from a university. You don't need, you know, some title. You don't need, you know, all this other stuff. You just have to have a willing, yielded heart of faith that is zealous to lay hold of what God has for you. Praise God. When the church sent out Paul and Barnabas as missionaries, Acts 13:3, it says, then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. They imparted a gift of possibly evangelism, or, you know, if there's a missionary gift of some kind. Praise God. You know, this impartation through the laying on of hands is so common, it's so basic to the New Testament, that in Hebrews it's actually called one of the foundational principles of the gospel. He says, let's go on to some other stuff. We're not going to spend time laying a foundation again of all these different things, salvation, resurrection from the dead, laying on of hands. He says, that's basic. That's 101. Praise God. You see it all throughout the New Testament. People were healed when Jesus laid hands on them. Miracles were done, it says, through the hands, yes, of Paul. He put his hands on people. Signs and wonders were done through the hands of Paul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit, the baptism in the Holy Spirit was imparted to people through the laying on of hands. Jesus blessed little children by laying his hands upon them. Praise God. When Paul got to Ephesus and preached the gospel to the people, and they said, well, I think we believe in him. Who is he? Or what is this Holy Spirit thing? They basically got saved, got water baptized. He laid his hands on them. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they spoke with tongues and prophesied because he laid his hands upon them. Did you know that even in the Old Testament, in Habakkuk chapter 3, it talks about the Lord. It says, his brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. Isn't that interesting? I love it. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. I hope this is starting to get the wheels turning in your spirit. I pray that this is just, if nothing else, piquing your curiosity. Maybe getting you a little hungry for some of what they got. I want what they got. I want what they got. Now, some people have been known to object to this. You can find them on the internet if you want. I wouldn't waste a whole lot of time there, honestly. Huh?
You find them at churches.
I came out of one of those churches years ago. Listen, you are what you eat. If you want this stuff, don't feed it their trough. Go feed it the trough of the other guy who's doing this stuff. But there are people who would object to this. They are known as cessationists. They believe that the gifts ceased when the apostles died. And they say stuff like this. They say, well, you know, if a person has the Holy Spirit, they should have access to any of the gifts of the Holy Spirit because that the Holy Spirit wants to impart to them because they have the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. So if he has these gifts and they have him, they should be able to already have any gifts he wants to give to them. Why do you need to seek it out? Why do you need to have anybody lay hands on you? And on the surface, it sounds like a logical proposition. If that's the way God wants to operate. We were talking about logical propositions in class yesterday. The question is it scriptural? Because if it's not scriptural, then maybe our logical proposition is missing some facts and maybe isn't quite as logical as we thought. It may be a faulty foundation to build on. The question is if you want to know how God operates, is that scriptural? That if you've got the Holy Spirit, you've got all the gifts already in your system. Well, Let's look at an example. Go to the Old Testament. There was a man in the Old Testament that actually had the Holy Spirit, and his name was Joshua. Okay? He was to be the successor of Moses. Moses was going to pass on from the scene. They had to pass the mantle, the leadership to somebody. They said, Joshua is our man. And this is what it says in Numbers 27. It says, the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, because actually Moses was asking God, God, who are we going to set over this congregation? Because I'm out of here, you know, I'm heading off. And this is what he told him. The Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. All right, looking at this passage, did Joshua have the Holy Spirit before Moses laid his hand on him?
Yes.
Say it boldly.
Yes.
Okay. He had the Holy Spirit, and God told Moses, go lay your hand on him. Now, Deuteronomy 34, skip a little further in the Old Testament. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun, same guy, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Look at that. It says he was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why? Because Moses laid his hands on him. He already had the Holy Spirit, but apparently there was a spirit of wisdom operating in Moses. I mean, you need wisdom to lead a million plus people through the desert wilderness. Apparently there was a spirit of wisdom from the Holy Spirit operating within Moses that Joshua didn't really have. He might have been a wise guy a little bit, but he didn't have that wisdom anointing like Moses had. And so God wanted Moses to impart that particular quality or gifting to Joshua. Praise God. He had the Holy Spirit before he laid hands on him, but he received the anointing from Moses in wisdom after he laid hands on him.